the Provincetown International Film Festival celebrating its 15th anniversary, and we're here talking to the honoree of the Faith Jubilee Award this year, cinematographer Ed Bachman. Is this your first time you've been to Provincetown?
It is. It's the first time, but not the first time I knew about Provincetown, because a lot of the directors and producers I've worked with have come here over the years. Everyone's been so open and so supportive and encouraging about the kind of work that I do that it's been a wonderful experience.
Are you working on any projects now?
I'm actually in pre-production for Todd Haynes' next project. It will be the fourth project. You know, I did Far From Heaven, I'm Not There, and the Mildred Pierce series for HBO. So this is going to be a new project for the big screen.
We absolutely love Mildred Pierce and really love Far From Heaven. I just thought it was one of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen.
Thank you so much.
What do you think about what's been going on with gay marriage in this country?
Well, hopefully it's making inroads. You know, what I've never understood about the whole idea about it was, why don't people just understand if people treat each other in a loving way, what difference does it matter, instead of worrying about what the Bible's concept is about love? I mean, I don't think there is a definition. I think the definition is how we treat each other as human beings. So to me, that's always been the most important thing. I never understood why people are, well, I guess they're so uptight, but I think the most important thing is if people are loving and caring for each other. I don't care what they are.
LGBT teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have a lot of these kids taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
Well, the more open everybody is and there's more of a forum and talking, that people don't feel alone and separated. You know, I did a film with Larry Clark I co-directed called Ken Park, and part of the reason we made that film was to show what happens behind closed doors so people understand they're not so isolated and fearful. And the more that one sees that they're part of a larger community, the more open people will be. In sports, people are coming out. I hope that it's a better time than it's ever been, because people are willing to be more open about who they love and why they love each other.
We're here with John Waters, who's been involved with the beginning of the film festival and has been here every year. This year at the festival, they're celebrating filmmakers on the edge, and you were a filmmaker on the edge always, but when did you get that award from the PIFF?
I guess 15 years ago, because this is the 15th year, I was the first one. So 15 years ago, which sounds like a long time ago, but I've been in Provincetown for 49 years. And I showed my first movie here in probably 1968, where we showed Eat Your Makeup in the church on Shank Painter Road, and the preacher didn't even know what it was, but they were fine about it. And last summer, I was sitting on the benches in front of Town Hall, and a woman came over and said, "I have to tell you, that was my father who showed your movie." And now she's an adult now and everything. She said, "I remember we were so shocked when we saw all those people come in the church. Your fans were so different than our congregation." Not shocked in a bad way, but it was very sweet meeting her.
Tell us about some of the projects that you're working on now.
My next project is my book, Carsick, which I'm going to wait and talk about that when the book comes out. That's my main thing. I just finished it. So I'm working on that. I do my spoken word show all over the world. I have another big Christmas tour coming, some articles I've been writing, but the main thing is I just turned in my book, Carsick.
This year, the highlight, Friday night highlight movie was I Am Divine, Jeffrey Schwartz's new film. I thought it was fabulous. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a very fair, no snark. It was a portrait that was what Divine was really like, a gentleman and a good actor. I think many people just thought Divine was the character in Pink Flamingos. Divine never walked around in drag, ever. He was never in drag unless he was in a movie or performing. He liked playing men just as much. And he, at the end of his life, he wore expensive men's suits.
Are there any movies that you've seen at the festival this year that you can recommend?
Sure, yeah. I liked Lovelace a lot. I thought Christine Bichamp presented a movie called King Kelly. I'd never seen that. It's been my favorite. I really loved it. I saw the Whoopi Goldberg movie about Moms Mabley. Who knew? She was a male impersonator. She was almost like Pee Wee Herman. She had this role, this character that she never let anybody see behind. And in those days, the tabloids would never have tried to reveal the person personal life of Moms Mabley. Today they probably would. So that was quite good. What else did I see? I saw 3 and 4 a Day.
What do you think about the number of films, LGBT films, that are being produced lately?
To me, I don't care if they're gay or not. I think there's bad gay movies. I think that's progress, to admit. And eventually, I don't know if there will be gay film festivals. I don't know if there should be, to be honest. We're like everybody else. This isn't a gay film festival, but a lot of the films in it are gay. I've always said I don't want my book in the gay section back near true crime, near the bathroom. I want it up front with the nonfiction bestsellers. It's a tough thing as we're more and more assimilated and everything. Why do we have a separate section? Is there a black section in a bookshop? Is there any more? There used to be. I don't know if there is now. So it's a subject to me, like a lot of leather bars are disappearing. Young people don't want to be spanked. They don't feel bad about being gay. So I like leather bars too, but always my message has been not separatist. I don't think gay is enough. It's a good start.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I think Oliver Stone said the best line about filmmaking, inch by motherfucking inch. That's a good one for filmmaking. But no, I don't have a spiritual line. I do believe in the basic goodness of people, though. And that has gotten me pretty far, and I can get along with most people. And I've worked hard, so I'm never in the position to be around assholes. And that is wealth.
We're talking to Brian De Palma, who's here to show his film Passion. Tell us about the film.
The film is based on a French film made by Alain Corneau. It's about the rivalry of two executives in an advertising firm in Germany.
So what was your inspiration for taking this film on?
I like the characters. In the original film, Christian Scott Thomas played one of the women, and I like their interaction. And I thought the mystery was extremely clever. But there were some things about it that bothered me a little bit. I thought that Corneau revealed the murderer much too early, so there was no reason to keep on going through the film to figure out who killed who and why. So I tried to keep that hidden as long as possible.
Is this your first trip to Provincetown?
Yes.
What do you think about it so far?
It's beautiful. Mainly here because my daughter's going to camp in the area and I can send her off.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, right now I'm developing a script based on the Joe Paterno Sandusky case. And it's a very complicated, difficult, and tragic story.
What do you think about all this hoopla that they're making over gay marriage in this country?
Ridiculous. They should have the rights as any American citizen.
Why do you think it's taking so long?
Any unusual lifestyle sometimes takes a little while to be understood by the mass populace, I imagine.
We're here with Christine Vachon. Christine, what movies have you seen that you really like?
Well, I presented a movie here at the festival called King Kelly, which I, you know, obviously really, really like. And I executive produced a film that's here called Bluebird, which is also quite a wonderful film.
Do you think there are more or less LGBT films being made these days?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't even know what makes a movie LGBT anymore. I really don't. I mean, you have to stop saying movie. And you have to maybe say story instead. Like, how many stories are being made? And if that's the question, then I think the answer is, like, a ton.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, we have Kill Your Darlings coming out in October, about Allen Ginsberg and William Burroughs and Jack Kerouac when they all met at Columbia University, starring Daniel Radcliffe. And then we just wrapped a movie called The Last Days of Robin Hood about the last couple years of Errol Flynn's life. And it stars Kevin Kline and Susan Sarandon and Dakota Fanning.
That's an amazing cast.
It is.
It must have been amazing to work with them.
Absolutely.
What do you think about this gay marriage fiasco that's going on in this country?
I don't really know how to comment. You know, I want my gay brothers and sisters who want to get married to have the right to do so. And I'm like, boy, am I happy that I'm not.
My partner and I, we're sort of waiting for federal rights at some point.
But I've always said. I've always said if it's not federal, it doesn't really matter. And, you know, when, like, it's like, oh, hey, we can all get married. It's like, no, you can't. You're not. It's actually bullshit. So I'm with you on that. But when that happens, we will probably decide, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And why do we want to all be like straight people?
I never really wondered that, but you do have a child, and you do want to make sure that she's protected.
By the time we have the federal right to get married, she'll probably be in college.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
One of the things that we say a lot in advice to young producers is, you know, it's not a popularity contest, and don't care about what other people think. That's just, you know, that sounds really basic, but it's very easy to get lost in that. And I've just had to really train myself to not be swayed by what people think.
With Mary Herron, who won the Filmmaker on the Edge Award in
2005.
So this is not your first trip to Provincetown, but you must be happy to be back.
Yes, I try and come every year, actually. They've been really nice about inviting me back, and I have good friends here. In the past, I've also come just as a regular moviegoer, you know, stayed here, but quite often I've been asked just to appear and do a panel or something. I love Provincetown.
Well, you have an abundance of a resume of movies that you've made. I think my favorite is I Shot Andy Warhol. What is your favorite movie that you've done?
I'm very fond of Notorious Betty Page, actually. But in a way, I love them all. Usually you love the one you're working on. But I also feel like I don't really understand them until I see them like 15 years after, which is what it is now for I Shot Andy Warhol. Immediately after you've made a film, all you can see are the mistakes or where you didn't have enough money or and not enough time. And so gradually, you know, as the years pass, you get a different relationship with them.
What projects are you working on now?
I just did a TV movie about Anna Nicole Smith that's going to be out next weekend, and that was fun. And then I'm just at home writing.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Lifetime movie?
Luckily, because it's Lifetime and it's a female-centered audience, it's a very sympathetic look at her. She's a flawed heroine in this one. And it's a lot of it's about her relationship with her son, Danny, which is very tragic and sad. He died and then she died. But you can't do Anna's story without having some comic elements and some bizarre elements. So it's quite a story.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm working on actually a film script with my husband that we've just started working on that's kind of like a family drama. We try and always have at least one low-budget film that you can shoot cheaply. That's one of the things that you know if you had to get the money together independently that you could rather than going through a studio.
What do you think about the struggle in this country for the LGBT community, especially with gay marriage and workplace protections?
I know that politically and in terms of workplace protection, it probably seems like it's has so far to go. But I think that psychically, the country has changed rapidly, extraordinarily rapidly. Not legislation so much as just attitudes have changed astoundingly. And I have two teenage daughters, and kids are coming out, you know, in middle school or in early high school. And that would never have happened 20 years ago, you know.
Well, that comes right into my next question. You know, LGBTQ teens are four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
In a way, it's the same as for anybody who's really unhappy in high school, is don't get locked into feeling that this is the world. There is a much greater world. And, you know, get on a train. When you get a little older, get yourself to college. Or, you know, if you can't get to college, get yourself to a big city where there's more tolerance and where you'll meet people like yourself, like-minded people in a much more diverse community. And just don't think that high school in any way is a reflection of the outside world. High school is the most claustrophobic, intolerant place compared to what you're going to experience later.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Actually, yeah, there is a world elsewhere. It's a line from Shakespeare, meaning that, you know, whatever your situation is, you don't like this movie company, you don't like this issue, there's somewhere else that you can find, you know, sympathy and understanding.
We're with Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman, who's opened the film festival with their movie Lovelace. Tell us about your movie that opened the film festival this year.
It tells the story of Linda Lovelace, who was the first porn superstar. She was the star of the film Deep Throat, which came out in 1973. And she has a very different story to tell than the one most people think they know.
How did the cast come together for this? You have an amazing cast.
We have a great cast. Amanda Seyfried plays Linda Lovelace. Peter Sarsgaard plays her husband, Chuck Traynor. Sharon Stone plays her mother. James Franco plays Hugh Hefner. Bobby Cannavale. Yeah, we have an incredible cast. Dream cast.
Chris Knott.
Chloe Sevigny.
Debbie Mazur. Yeah, we have an embarrassment of riches, really.
How did it come together that all these people got involved with the film?
Sometimes things just come together. You know, it had to do with the project. It had to do with us, I hope. It had to do with Amanda and Peter at the helm of the cast.
People thought it was a cool project. It would be fun to do. Certainly once you get actors like Amanda and Peter and Sharon, then other actors feel more comfortable jumping in, and they like the script.
Do you have a release date for this film yet?
We do. It's opening nationwide on August 9th. Soon to be coming to a theater near you, we hope.
What are the new projects that you're working on at this time?
We're doing a documentary on the history of the Oscars, and we're developing a feature project about Anita Bryant, with Uma Thurman playing Anita Bryant, and a couple of others, but I always say talk is cheap, so until they're actually happening, we could go on talking about possible projects, but yeah, we have a lot of balls in the air. We'll see which ones actually fly.
Do you think that there is an abundance or a lack of LGBT films being made, mainstream and studio films?
Studio films are just becoming amusement park rides. They really seem to be specializing almost exclusively in big action 3D films.
And maybe it'll be a big gay or lesbian action hero, or a gay animated film, but yeah, it has to be for studio films. It's the big mass market.
Have there been any gay characters in any of those big action movies? I don't go to see them.
You know, not really, but there are a lot of gay comic book characters that are coming out now, so you never know. Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Breathe,
yeah.
Great, thank you so much. We're with Malcolm Ingram, whose film Continental is playing, and it's unbelievable, and it was amazing, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Continental.
Well, the Continental, it's a documentary on the Continental Baths, which is a gay bathhouse that existed in New York from 68 to around 76. It was run by a guy named Steve Ostro, who kind of was the Svengali behind it. He was kind of a gay P.T. Barnum, and he kind of created the space and ran it between 68 and 74. It was kind of a decadent place, a very opulent place for gay men to go and fuck, and then it kind of introduced this kind of concept of cabaret, and you know, people like Bette Midler got their start there, and it combined this cabaret scene with kind of a gay sex vibe. So it was kind of a very original place.
Do you think it's difficult for movies, you know, even documentaries that have a LGBT theme to get distributed and to get out there?
Yeah, even by supposed LGBT companies, I think. It just seems that the interest, especially in something like gay history, the interest, sadly, is not there for something that, you know, is important as our history. I mean, when I was trying to get this movie funded, like, I couldn't get Logo interested in this movie whatsoever. They were just like, you know, they'd rather do something like RuPaul's Drag Race, which is a perfectly, you know, great show, and it has its place. But I mean, there's got to be room for everything, and I think that it's too bad the shift seems to be in the world as well, just towards entertainment, and people are less interested in kind of looking at something like a history, like a place like Continental, which was, I think, a very important part of queer history.
What projects are you working on now?
I made a documentary called Small Town Gay Bar that premiered at Sundance in 2006, and right now I'm trying to turn it into a reality show called Southern Pride, which we found a gay bar, another gay bar in Mississippi, run by this really, really cool lesbian, and so that's one of the things we're kind of putting together right now.
We're with Michael Musto, who actually appears in Continental. And you said in the film that you were actually at the the Continental. Michael, you're way too young to have ever been at the Continental, so would you please justify that answer?
Oh, let me clarify. I was never actually at the Continental. However, later on I did go to baths, like the club baths. And in the film Continental, I'm a commenter on the milieu of the 1970s gay sexual revolution. So I'm speaking not from within the Continental. Unfortunately, I never saw Bette Midler perform at that point, which would have been amazing. But I was well acquainted with that whole scene. And it was a time when nobody was worried about sex. It's hard to imagine today, but it was not a worrisome situation. You could have random, promiscuous, reckless, unlimited amounts of sex, and the worst you would have to worry about was you might have to take an antibiotic the next day and stop some kind of leakage from happening. And you went on with your life and had more sex. And the fact that the Continental combined that opportunity for horny gay men with this cultural opportunity of seeing superstars in the making, like LaBelle and Bette Midler and Barry Manilow, who was Bette Midler's accompanist, and even living legends like Sarah Vaughan, who would come in and do a show, was something unheard of today. I mean, you don't have that kind of mixture of creative cross-pollination. Everything is very niche marketed today.
You know, I also caught Jeffrey Schwartz's movie, I Am Divine, and you appeared in that one as well.
I'm basically the Parker Posey of Provincetown.
She was actually here last year. How did that come about that you got involved with I Am Divine?
Well, I was a fan of John Waters' films from the beginning, and I wrote about them for the Soho Weekly News, which was an alternative weekly, a smaller version of the Village Voice. And then when I went on to work at the Village Voice, which laid me off recently, that's a whole other story, I would write up John Waters and Divine, and I interviewed Divine. I'll never forget asking Divine if she wanted to play Meryl Streep type of roles, and Divine said, oh no, those are for ugly people. And I just loved her from there. I was like, I love this person. And Divine was a true artist, an actor who happened to get caught as an oversized drag, outrageous queen, but wanted to stretch and do all sorts of things, and was about to do all that when he died. He had just landed a regular role on Married with Children as a man, and was going to show a whole different side to his talent. So it was super tragic that he died. But I'm thrilled that this movie, I Am Divine, by Jeffrey Schwartz, is going to introduce new generations to somebody they might not know about, who really changed the culture in a good way.
And what do you think about the lack of LGBT stories out there in studio films?
It's appalling. I mean, we went through a period where there was only the gay best friend who's kind of bitchy but lovable and gave romantic advice to his girlfriend but didn't have a love life of his own. We don't even have that anymore. There's no gay coverage. Movies don't have gay characters, period. If you have these great documentaries like Continental and I Am Divine, it's an uphill struggle for them to get distributed because nobody wants to hear nice gay stories. They'll hear tragic gay stories, maybe. They'll hear about gay people who are murdered or gay people who are murderers. But nobody wants to hear about somebody who just happens to be gay and lives a regular life. And we need to open the doors to that. The biggest example of that was the Liberace movie, which Oscar winner Steven Soderbergh, who's only a freaking genius, could not get a studio to greenlight in 10 years of trying, despite the fact that other Oscar winners were attached to it, like Michael Douglas and Matt Damon. It ended up on HBO. I think we should just deal with the fact that we're all going to be on HBO. Maybe that's okay. More people will see it that way.
We're at the Provincetown International Film Festival with Jeffrey Schwartz, whose film I Am Divine was featured on the Friday night spotlight. Jeffrey, tell us about your film.
I Am Divine is the story of Divine, who was born Harris Glenn Milstead in suburban Baltimore. And, you know, as a kid, he was awkward, he was overweight, he was kind of a sissy, he was bullied and picked on all through his high school years. But then he met a guy named John Waters when they were both 17. They lived pretty close to each other. John wanted to be famous, he wanted to make movies, and Glenn, who was Glenn at the time, he wanted to be Elizabeth Taylor, he wanted to be a movie star. So they met, and John started making these underground movies, and he gave Divine his name. And he wanted a glamazon to be at the center of these films. And Divine was the perfect candidate. And they developed this character together. And they started making films that slowly began to build and build. And the audience began to build. And then eventually they became these midnight movie sensations. And Divine and John became famous in the underground film scene in the 70s into the 80s. And Divine's dreams actually did come true because he did become an internationally renowned screen star, a recording star. He had a disco career. He also did stage plays. He had an act that he traveled around the world with, and he really just did become a larger-than-life personality that people loved all over the world.
As a, you know, gay filmmaker, do you have a difficult time with studios trying to tell gay stories?
Well, I don't really make studio movies, but I do know how difficult it is for gay stories to be told in that system. And, you know, recently there was the Liberace film that Steven Soderbergh, who's straight, made, and he had a really hard time getting that film financed, even though he had major stars attached to it. So studios are still very skittish about it. I mean, and it's a business, and they feel that gay storylines might alienate a mainstream, let's say, movie-going public. You know, and somebody like Divine and John Waters, Hairspray was the one that was probably the most mainstream, but that didn't have any overt gay content in it, but it had gay sensibility. You know, so I think it's probably easier for filmmakers who are gay to infuse their films, even if they don't have overt gay storylines, they could infuse them with a sensibility that might be a little bit subversive. You know, something like Hairspray, where one of the main characters is played by a man in drag, you know, the lovable mama, but it's never commented on that it's a man in drag, you know, but the audience just completely accepts it. Even in the remake of Hairspray, you know, that was a tradition that they continued on. And there were a lot of gay people involved in the Hairspray remake, but it was the themes of acceptance and tolerance were there. Maybe it's like Vito Russo said, you know, you have to look between the lines to sort of find the gay content in a lot of films.
What projects are you working on now?
I just started working on a new film called Tab Hunter Confidential, and it's a documentary about one of the biggest movie stars of the 1950s. He was one of the most beautiful men who ever walked the planet, really, and he had a very big secret as well. He was secretly gay, was sold as the boy next door, the guy that every mom and dad would love their daughter to date or to marry, but he had a very, very different life in reality. So Tab is now 82, and he wrote a great book called Tab Hunter Confidential a few years ago where he came out, which was very difficult for him because he's a very private person, he's a very conservative guy, but he knew that that's what people would really be interested in. You know, what was it like to be sort of groomed by the Hollywood studio system and become a product of Hollywood where in reality you're something very, very different. So we've just started filming that. John Waters is in our film because he gave Tab's career a shot in the arm in the 80s when he put Tab in Polyester opposite Divine. And Tab's career became rejuvenated because he became hip again by being in that movie, you know? So I'm really thrilled about that movie, and I hope we'll be back here soon with that one and talking about that, yeah.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
There's a song in Nashville, the Robert Altman movie, that one of the characters sings called Keep A Goin'. And I like that song, actually, because in the song, all these horrible things are happening, but the guy keeps on smiling, he keeps on moving forward. And I think if you're making indie film, no matter if it's documentary or features or whatever it is that you're doing that's sort of against the grain, you just have to keep it going. And don't let anybody talk you out of it, and don't wait for permission to do what you want to do. Just move forward every single day in some way, and don't ask for permission.